Good morning, everybody.
How are you all doing? Good time of the year, hey? Okay, for some it is. Supporter, even better. So, Bulls guys, pray afterwards. Like I always say, we will pray for you. But what a beautiful time. What a beautiful time of worship this morning, hey? And it's just always that we get to that place where we are reminded that it's all about Him. Our worship is centered around Jesus. It's got nothing to do with us. Nothing. And I love it how Terry started just saying, your circumstances, what you go through, friends, we can just put it aside. Even David, when he went through everything, when Saul was going after him, when he was in hiding in caves, he did this. He says, I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? It comes from the maker of heaven and earth. And this morning, I want to encourage you, if you've had a rough year, and I know there's plenty of you sitting here. Friends, keep your eyes focused on Him. Such an amazing season mean that your troubles all of a sudden has disappeared. I'm fully aware of that. But I also know this, that Jesus says He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if He says He's with you, He is with you. Every step that you take, He is with you. So last week, we had a look at Joseph, lessons that we can learn from him. There was three. It is, Joseph was an honoring man. He was faithful and he was obedient. And can you believe there's two Sundays left of this year? Then it's gone. 2025 is literally on our doorstep. Hey, this is our last Sunday before Christmas, like the announcement said, and we're going to have an amazing. And I promise you, we won't keep you long. So the little ones that needs to open presents, you will have it. The roast in the oven won't burn. Eat. So 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock, please invite your friends and family and let's celebrate Wednesday together as a Hope City family. Bring your friends, bring your family, bring the unsaved ones. Let them hear about this beautiful message of Jesus. So this morning, I actually want to look at the life of Mary. There's little we can read, but there's lots that we can see. So if you have a Bible, you can turn to Luke chapter 1, verse 26. And I'm going to read for us. In the next 6 months of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth. I'm watching too much spy movies lately, definitely. A town in Galilee to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored. How's that for a greeting? Hey, you who are highly favored. I love that. The angel didn't appear to her and said, hey, rubbish, come here. Come sit here, so let us begin praat. You know, when you've done something wrong, your mom and dad calls you with a belt in the hand. Call me so. It wasn't like that. Looked at Mary and says, highly favored. And then this next sentence, the Lord is with you. Friends, even in our time of worship, hey, God is with us. Emmanuel, He's with us. Every time that you and I leave this building, trust me, we don't lock Him in here. He goes with you. When you go home, when you go to your workplace, when you go on holiday, when you drive around, He is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at His word and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call Him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give Him the throne of His father David, and He will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be? Mary asked the angel. Since I am a virgin, the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she has said to be unable to conceive is in her 6 month. For no word from God will ever fail. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. Okay, so here we have the question of Mary, a teenage girl around the age of 13, 14. Who's 13 here? 13. Oh, Amy, put your hand up. 8, 13, 14. 12, 13, 14. Put your hand up. Quickly stand. Those two, stand up quickly. Okay, no pressure. That's how old Mary was. That's something, hey? When you look at that, you go, okay, hang on a bit. If my little one comes to me with that news now, Master Kinders, that will be a... Thanks. That's Mary in that time, it was custom. But Mary was a young girl. Mary was 12, 13, 14 years old, teenager, young teenager. And God speaks this over her life. You are highly favored. You are blessed. God is with you. Friends, and I want to tell you, even in this short sentence, young person here, don't throw away that God can use you. Don't put it in, I have to wait, I have to mature. I tell you what, if God can use a teenager, a young girl, to bring Jesus into this world, and I actually want to jump way ahead. If I look at Mary's life, I tell you what, when Jesus did his first miracle, who was there? Mary. When Jesus died on the cross, who was there? Mary. When she went to that tomb, she was there. She saw it. I want to tell you, Mary was a good mother. Mary was a great mother. And that's why God looked at this young teenager, looked at her, and he knew what he placed inside of her. He can use this girl. So if you're sitting here, and you, a young teenage girl, young teenage boy, don't think God cannot use you, because he will use you. Next year, open your life up and surrender like Terry said. Say, Lord, do in and through me what you want to do. I tell you, God is going to use our young people. There's a generation out there that needs God. There's a generation out there that is crying for something and they don't know what. We've got the answer. We've got this good news. And they are sitting here. They're between us. On Friday, they get together here. I want to tell you, you've got a big, big responsibility to do what God has called you to do. Because remember, when us old people tell you what to do, don't always listen. It's amazing, eh? Tell them something. And they go, Then somebody else come to them and say the same thing. They go, that's a thing. Okay, probably there's a gray hair coming through because they don't want to hear that. But when somebody at your own level experience God and they tell you about it, something happens, eh? Something happens. Okay. She encounters the angel, gives her this news. And again, this is not news to say, okay, this is going to happen. You know, this is changing, friends. This will change Mary's life forever. Forever. It's life-changing. I love this. She answered like this. How will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I'm a virgin. We go back to the Old Testament, Isaiah 7:14. This was prophesied. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Right there, the prophecy is being fulfilled. What God has said is happening. Friends, and again, when God tells you something, listen to me very carefully, it will happen. When God speaks over your life, it will happen. When somebody prophesies over you and it's from him, it will happen because God's word does not return empty to him. It will happen. And this happened. Just a complete side note here. Okay. When I was reading this in the first couple of chapters in Luke, there's a relative of Mary called Elizabeth. So when Mary got this news and received from the Holy Spirit, what does she do? She goes to Elizabeth and she stayed with her for 3 months. And while she was with Elizabeth, she actually got encouraged. She got strengthened. She got counseled to. She got, listen here, just like hope speaking to her life. And when I read this about Elizabeth, again, one name in the Bible that we read a couple of verses about. When I read about Elizabeth, I just said, Lord, can Hope City not be like Elizabeth? Can we not be that place that when people receive news, they can come to us and it's a safe place for them? That they can walk in here and know they'll find godly counsel. That they can come in here and they know this is a place where I'll be nourished, where I'll be fed, but I'll be put back onto mission. She didn't keep Mary there. She knew she had to go back. But in that time, she was with her. She celebrated with her. She looked after her. Hope City, I pray that we can be like Elizabeth. I pray that we can be the church that when people walk into this door and they have no clue, they can't see past tomorrow, that we can just hold them and say, you know what? There is hope. There is a future. His name is Jesus. That you and I can be that for people. Going next year, friends, I see people coming in here. And my prayer is this, that we won't steal sheep from other churches, but that we'll see the unsaved walking in here, broken, needing something. And you and I have got that, friends. We've got it. We've got the good news. That's what we're celebrating here. That's what we're singing about, is about this Jesus. There's an Edenvale city out here on our doorstep that is crying, friends, that is needing in something. Why do you think people do things like taking drugs? Why do you think people fill themselves with alcohol? Why do you think people go through relationships that are ungodly? Because they are looking to fill the emptiness inside of them. There's only one person that can fill that gap. His name is Jesus. Friends, how can we keep it to ourselves? How can you and I just say, well, it's for us on a Sunday to sing Kumbaya, clap hands, and we walk up there and we do nothing about it? That's why we have life groups, so that in the middle of the week, we can encourage each other, we can strengthen each other, that we can go out there, be the salt, and be the light. So that's Elizabeth. Back to Mary. Four things I just want to show you that I pray that you and I can just look at and say, man, I want to put this in my life. I want to put these things in my life. And the first thing is, she had trust in God. That's point number one. Luke 1:38. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. This 13-year-old, 14-year-old teenager had full trust in God. She trusted him. The word trust is a bold, confident, or a sure security. Trusting is believing in the promise of God, even if the evidence looks different. So don't get confused with faith, okay? But it's when you and I look at something and you go, this is not going to happen. I know my God. Mary had no clue. How is this even possible? And Jesus says, the angel says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you will have a son. She had full trust in God. She didn't question him there. I quickly just teach you something very, this is not one of those nice things that I'm going to rub your ears and make you feel good. Okay. When I read this, I said to Laura in the car yesterday, I love how the angel appeared to Mary and he instructed her. This is what's going to happen. There wasn't like a whole negotiation or a conversation about, okay, but Mary, how do you feel about this? Mary, do you think it's okay if we do this? Mary, quickly sit down. I just got, how are you feeling today? How is it going? What did you have for breakfast? He doesn't do that, friends. He came with her. First of all, you are highly favored. God is with you. I want to tell you, this is what's going to happen in your life. Friends, I want to tell you, when you and I surrender to God, when you and I put our trust in God, God instruct me in you to do things. And there's not a how do you feel about this. It's not a let's talk about this. God says, go and do it. I want to tell you, do it. Do it. Why? Because God knows better. God knows far better than me and you. I love how people mess things up in our lives. And I'm number one. God tells us to do things, and you and I carry on with this. And we just bump our heads, and we get to that place, and we do what God does, told us to do, and we do that. Friends, it's all of a sudden, but please hear me, and I've said this so many times in a joking way. Jesus is not a magic wand. You don't call Jesus three times, hocus pocus, boom, and it just disappears. There's no such thing, friends. Jesus says that you will suffer like the way that I've suffered. I love it. He says, pick up your cross. That is a heavy thing that you and I carry, that we walk with. But he says, I will always be with you. I will walk with you. I will deposit my spirit inside of you. That where you go, what you do, you will not be alone. And that is the promise that you and I have. That when we go through these things, we are not alone. Every step that we take, he is with us, friends. I'm one of those characters, DJ, alone. I can't. When I get home and my wife and my three girls are not there, I look for them because I can't be alone. I hate that. Now, there's some of you here, you want to be. You want to be alone. I know. There's some of you that just says, leave me alone for half an hour. Sometimes my wife is like that. She goes, don't you want to go somewhere? Just give me some space here. I don't like that. And I very quickly learned in my life that I'm never alone. I'm never alone, friends. When we go through things in our lives, it says His Spirit is right here. It's inside of us. Sometimes we call out. Sometimes we look there. It's right here. Be still and know that I'm God. For us that are happy-clappy sometimes, be still is not it's not a thing. But I want to tell you, sometimes you and I just got to sell up. We got to pause. We got to sit back. Know that He is God. I love this verse, Proverbs 3, verse 5 to 6. Trust in the Lord, always submit all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. We love to quote that last, He will make our path straight. But there's two conditions here. Trust in Him and submit to Him. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. It's easy when you don't have anything to trust Him. It's easy because you have to. But now you have a salary. Now you've got a roof over your head. Now I drive a lacquer car. Now I've got my spouse. I've got my kids. I've got friends. I've got things around me. So what do? We lean onto that. We lean onto them. We lean onto our bank account. Some bank account fall flat. But we lean onto things. God says, no, no, no. Trust me. Trust me. Friends, I want to tell you this morning, put your trust back into God. Put your trust in Him. For 2025, put your trust in God. For your marriage, put your trust in God. For your kids, put your trust in God. For your work, put your trust back into God. For your life, put your trust back into God. One of the only ways to grow in trust is to get to know the one that you trust. The only way to grow in trust is get to know the one that you trust. Trust comes by time spent with someone. You know, I can trust this person. Because when I call, they're there. When I need them, they're there. When I ask them, they're there. Jesus says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. It's always there. You and I need to get to know Him. Number two, praise God in the midst of trials. Praise God in the midst of trials. The visit of Gabriel, Mary could very easily say, not a chance. Ain't happening. Sing it, I girl with the heart clip. That's me. You just check dust. And she goes. She didn't do that. She didn't do that. She trusted God. She surrendered to Him. And she says, be happening to me what you want. Went to Elizabeth. She actually writes a worship song. Mary writes a song. And I'm not going to read it now. But it's in Luke 1, 46 to 55. So in the midst of this, remember, now she's got this news. She heard what's happening. She writes a praise song. In the back of her head, she knows two things can happen. My husband can divorce me, and I can get stoned. So what am I going to do? I'll write a praise song. I don't know about you, but when I go through stuff in my life, the last thing I do is write a praise song. That's the last thing I do. I start stressing. I start worrying. As a man, you make plans. It's the worst thing we can do, so by the way. But we make our own plans. We go, how can I fix this? How can I change this? How can I hide this? How can I do this? Where can I run to? What can I? Not Mary. She sits back and she starts writing a praise song. Friends, there's something happening. You and I get into a place like this morning and we go through stuff and we worship God. Something happens. Can you think of two other characters that praise God in the midst of trials? Saul, Paul, and Silas. What happened to them? Got thrown into jail. Let me read it. I want to read it. Acts 16, 23. After they had been severely flogged. Do you know what severely flogged mean? Do you know that? My girls won't know. They just got a little wooden spoon on the nappy. That's not severely flogged. You know when you get your dad with a leather belt and he smacks you three times? That's not severely flogged. Now, I know I can't say this school, even in Tormit. It looked like a proper hidings. Proper hidings. You know, but that was three shots and you were done. It looked like a railway line on your behind, but it was finished. Friends, the Jewish custom was they could hit you 38 times. 38 times. But this was not Jews, this was Romans. So it's very possible that they got more beatings than 38. 38 times. Severely flogged. I don't know about you, but when I get flogged like that, the last thing I'm going to do is what these oaks do later on. They were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell. Again, inner cell is right in the middle of the jail. It's not like the outer one. These were where the murderers were like put in. The last ones that we sorted out, you put them in there. Now you can think what's happening in that last cell, hey? Fastened their feet in the stock. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. Something happens in the middle of a storm when you and I decide to worship God. Flogged, stickened. They got beaten properly. What do? They worship God. They worship God. In the midst of this pain, physical pain, in the midst of what they were going through, Paul and Silas looked at each other and they says, bring our guitar, papi, we're going to sing right now. Again, I looked at this character, I looked at Mary's character, and I just say, Lord, I don't always do that. When I go through these trials, when I go through things, what do? I run to things, I run to people, I run to Paul and Mary teaches us, no, my friend, you actually take a step back and you start worshiping God. Why do we do that? Because all of a sudden we make him the center of our lives. You and I take our circumstances and we put it behind us and we say, Lord, it's all about you. I love that song. And I think it's Matt Redman that wrote it. When the music fades and all is stripped away, it's all about you, Lord. It's all about you. That happens when you and I worship him. In the midst of trials, it's all about you, Lord. It's all about you. All of a sudden, prison doors opened up. Chains fall off. Friends, if you have a door that's closed in front of you, start worshiping. If God needs to open that door, he'll open it. If there's things holding you back, start worshiping. If there's chains on you, if there's chains around your neck, I want to challenge you, start worshiping God. And not just on a Sunday. Not just on a Sunday. Be that lunatic in your car that, mind you, don't put your hands up while you drive. It's maybe not a wise counsel. Keep your hands on the steering wheel. But you know what? 947 is boring. Switch it off. Some of you, who of you work in Sandton or Randburg? Yes, you got at least 2 hours on the highway every morning. What do you do in those 2 hours? Worship God. When you drive, when you're in your car, when you're in the mornings before you get up, man, put some songs. Start worshiping God. Even not just songs, start worshiping what's in your heart. Now, I know there's some of you that need to sing in the shower, then do that, you know. Some of your voices are really angelic, but it's not for you. Shower is amazing because I think that water filters it and it sounds nice when it goes up. Friends, God looks at our heart. Worship comes from here, not here. This is lip service. Worship comes from here. And God looks at our heart. Start worshiping God. Number 3. I love it. Terry said it. And when he said that, I just got so excited because this is one thing that Mary did. It was total surrender to God. Again, verse 38. I am the Lord's servant. Mary answered, may your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. Beautiful, beautiful verse. There's total surrender. Look at this, Romans 12, verse 1 to 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what is God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. But here it is, friends, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. And then Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but he lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself to me. And then the last verse there, James 4, verse 7, submit yourself to God. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Friends, surrender is a battle term. When the opposing army surrender, They lay down their arms, and the winner takes control of them. Surrendering to God works the same way. God has a plan for your life. And us surrendering means we aside our own plans and eagerly seek His. The great news is that God's plans is always in our best interest. We know this one so well. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Our first surrender is to the Holy Spirit. That leads to salvation. That's our first surrender. But then as we grow in intimacy with Him, we surrender more and more. Now, if you invite somebody into your house to come over for a, I'm not going to say braai, because then I'm going to, you invite somebody for a bunny chow. That's just off the braai, that's the best thing is a bunny chow. So you invite somebody for a bunny chow. Do you, as they walk in, where's the first place you take them to? Come, where do you take people when they come to eat by your house? Into your living room, hey? Come sit down. You don't take them to your bedroom and say, come sit here at my bed. Have a seat. Hey, lie down. Sleep a little bit if you want to. You don't take them to that. You know, we talk about that room. You don't take them to that room and say, yeah, look, this is where my wife rubbish is. Look, come have a look here. Yes, this is her. And you close the door and you sit down. We take them to the best and the cleanest room in our life. We say, sit down. Because we vacuumed there, the spider webs are gone, the light is working, the TV is playing nice soft music. We put them in the best space. When you and I surrender to God, we give Him that best space first. But we leave that room in the back and we say, Lord, anywhere else but not there. Leave that room alone because that's my stuff. That's the things that I'm holding on to. That's the things that I'm battling with, not that room. Terry said it this morning. Surrender everything to Him, friends. I actually want to tell you, open that cupboard door first. Say, Lord, this is what I'm going through. This is who I am. This is what I'm fighting. Please come and take charge of my life. Mary surrendered completely to Him. I tell you, surrendering to God is not just giving Him a little bit of your life. It's giving Him every part of your life. It's giving Him everything. It's giving Him your kids. It's giving Him your wife. It's giving Him your work. It's giving Him your workplace. It's giving Him your friends. Saying, Lord, here, it is yours. Do what you want to do and show me how I need to be part of that. I've said it so many times from this pulpit that you and I cannot do and say, God, come and bless what I'm doing. We say, God, what are you busy with? I want to be part of that. And that's how you and I. We're saying, God, do what you want to do in my life, through my life. Sometimes it's painful. Sometimes it's not nice. Sometimes it's a joy. But I surrender. Friends, I want to tell you, it's so easy to say, I surrender, I surrender. It's lacquer to sing it in the front, but try and do that. Because God's going to open that cupboard door and He says, what about this? No, Lord, not that cupboard, please, not that one. I'm still working on that one. I'm still going through some stuff. No, that's the one that I want you to surrender. That's the one I need you to give over. It's funny how God will go to that cupboard and He says, and what about this? Ooh, Lord, not that cupboard. Yes, that cupboard. What about this habit that you're working? Ooh, Lord, I'm still struggling a bit with that one. Well, surrender it to me. Surrender it to me. And I'm sorry that I'm standing still at this point, but friends, I want to tell you, there's something that happens in our spiritual walk with God when we surrender everything to Him. There's some of you are going through stuff. There's some of you are going through pains and hurts. There are some of you that are facing challenges. Surrender it to God. Surrender it to the Maker of heaven and earth. Surrender it to the lover of your soul. Surrender it to Him because He cares for you. He loves you. He knows what's best. He knows what's best. Surrender to Him. And then the last one. Mary had faith in Jesus. I'm over time here, so I'm not going to read this. John 2, verse 1 to 12. This is much later. So this is Jesus' first miracle. So there's this wedding, and the party is running out of wine. So what does Mary do? To Jesus, says, Jesus, die wein is op. We got problems. What does Jesus say? Woman, my time has not come. What does Mary do? Whatever He tells you to do, just do it. Just do it. And right there we see how Mary almost like pushed Jesus to this corner and He did His first miracle. He turned water into fruit juice, you know. No, He did wine. Believe it or not, some religious people are like, what? Wyn? Ja, pikke wyn gemaak. I want to take poetic license. Mary probably saw Jesus as a young boy taking a dead bird, laying hands on it, and it flies away. Poetic license, okay, please don't quote me on this. Mary probably saw him going to friends, playing with them that got something, laying hands on them, and they get healed. Mary probably saw Jesus on his knees every night praying to his Father. So when this happened, she knew exactly, you can do this. You can sort this out. Jesus, this is where you operate. What looks like the supernatural to us is your natural. You can do this. She doesn't question it. She just says, go and do what he tells you to do. Friends, can we have a heart like Mary? Can we do what Jesus tells us to do? When he tells you to get out that boat and walk on the water, do it. Do it. When he tells you to take a risk in your business, do it. When he tells you to step out and do certain things, do it. When he tells you in checkers, go lay hands on that person and pray for them. Lord, me! Yeah, yeah. Do it. Have faith like Mary. Have faith like Mary. How do we grow in faith? How do we grow in faith? You know this verse. Romans 10, 17. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing what? The word of God. You and I grow when we get to know the one we trust. You and I grow when we get to know this Jesus that this Bible is talking about. When you and I open it, all of a sudden when things happen and he tells you to do it, you read that he can do it, you will start doing it. Because you have faith, not in yourself, not in the government, not in your money, not in your business. You have faith in Jesus Christ. And you can say, Lord, I'll do it, and I'll walk, and I'll do whatever you tell me to do. We get to know him. We grow in faith. And when we open the word and start reading it, and we allow the word to read us, we go over into action, and we do what we read. Can I ask you to please?